How's everybody doing this morning? Good. That was so convincing that we're going to have to do it again. How's everybody doing this morning? There we go. It's better. Remember when you were in school and you'd show up for first hour and you saw that you had a substitute teacher? It was always like, yes, the sub is here today. And so that means we get out early. That means we can kind of get away with a few things, okay? There was always sub day. But then there was always when the cool sub showed up. Well, today is your day, folks. Today is your day. What happens here stays here. No, I'm just teasing. No, but I am very thankful to Pastor for the opportunity today. He texted me about 5:30 this morning. He actually called me Thursday and said, hey, just be prepared, be on call, because just babies have a mind of their own. And so I could be there on Sunday morning or I may not be. So 5:30 this morning, he texted me and he said, you're up to bat. So the fact that I work in professional baseball, that made sense to me. So today we're here, and like I said, very grateful that I'm here with you today. You know, it's funny how God works, and it's funny how God orchestrates services and does what he does without two people getting together and talking about it beforehand. But when Jeff talked during the prayer time and told that story of Hannah about her son, kind of hit home this morning for me. I didn't mean to be, but I was standing over here today, and I was texting, and it didn't look real good when the preacher's texting during worship time, and I get that, okay? But my oldest is about to turn 21, and him and his lady friend have kind of been talking about the next level in their relationship and where's that going, and he calls me and on occasion and says, Dad, I have a few questions, and what about this and that? And so he texted me this morning, and he said, Dad, she said yes. And he proposed to her last night or this morning, and so I'm gaining another daughter, and that's exciting to me. And it just kind of makes you realize how fast life goes, too, because I can remember when, just holding him as a little baby, and now he's a grown man and about to start a family of his own. So just the process of life is pretty awesome to just see God do what he does in us and through us, and it's an exciting time. So anyway, Lord, thank you for that. But 1 Peter, I'm gonna read to you and kind of go today from 1 Peter, and I'll start in chapter 2. But today I want to encourage you. I just want you to leave today. When you walk out today, I just want you to be uplifted, encouraged, and feeling like, you know what, God's got my back, and God's in control of my situations, and he loves me no matter what, regardless, and just be encouraged. I married a cheerleader, and I've raised a cheerleader, and so today the preacher's got his pom-poms, and he's encouraging you today. I don't literally have them, thankfully, but I'm going to be encouraging you today. I want to encourage you today and dare you to be different. Dare you to be different. 1 Peter, here's what it says, chapter 2. It says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a royal and holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now down to verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Father, thank you that today we have the opportunity to be in your house, that we have the freedom to worship you, that we live in a nation that, Father, that allows us to do what we do today. We thank you, we praise you. And I just pray, Lord, that your word would be heard, ears would be open, hearts ready to receive, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's proven that even identical twins have different DNAs. So what is God saying with that about our uniqueness? He's saying that we're all different. That no one in this room, no two people in this room are exactly alike. That He handpicked and He handcrafted each and every single one of us in our own unique way. So knowing that, we all have spiritual gifts. We all have talents. We all have abilities. Some are completely opposite from others. My mom is a singer. She's always been a singer. And my sister got that talent. And my children, a couple of my children have gotten that talent. But Todd did not get that talent. You know, when we're singing up here and the instruments go down and it's just the people singing, my voice goes a little bit quieter. How many of y'all do that? There we go. There's some truth tellers, okay? Because we kind of doubt, ooh, I don't want somebody to hear me sing because it's probably not too pretty. If it hurts my own ears, I know it's going to hurt yours, right? But we're all unique. We're all different. God created each and every single one of us with our own abilities. So we're different. That's just the way God created us. But you know, knowing that's the way God created us, He wants us to be ourselves. He wants us to be different. Because you just never know, and I'm finding this to be true more and more in my life, the older I get, you just never know who you're going to meet. You never know who you're going to come in contact with and just spark up a relationship with. Like I said, I work in professional baseball, and my job is getting out and talking to people. And you know, when I took this job, first couple weeks, I thought, I made a wrong decision. Because it's just not in my wheelhouse to do what I do now in my job. But just the little more I did it, and the little more I kind of got out there and put myself out there and understood my role and what my job is, I wouldn't say the easier it got, but the more comfortable I got with it. And then I just started meeting people, and people who 5 months ago I thought, I walked into their office and he probably had no time for me and wanted no time for me. But 5 months later, it's like we see each other and it's like, hey, there's my guy. So you just never know who you're going to meet and how relationships are going to develop and how your gifts and your talents are going to match up with his or hers. And you create this friendship and this relationship that really just continues to grow. God expects us to be team players. We all have our own talents and abilities, but He expects us to be team players. And that doesn't make a whole lot of sense at first. But we all bring our own talents to the table. He calls us to be different, though, at the same time. It's kind of like in football. They all have the game of football or the game of baseball, whatever it is. They all have the same uniform on, but they have different roles. And they have different responsibilities. It's not an offensive lineman's job to throw the football. Right? Although, you know, every once in a while that offensive lineman gets his glory and gets to carry the football. But it's not his job to do that. It's not the wide receiver's job to kick field goals. So we're all on the same team, but we all have different responsibilities. We all have different talents. We all bring something just a little different to the table. We are the body of Christ. We are one team. We all are united under the same banner, yet we have very diverse responsibilities and gifts. 1 Peter, what we just read, what we just talked about, totally defined and guided us in daring to be different. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Some scriptures, some verses say a peculiar people. That means you're different. That means we're different than the rest of the world. You know, in my job, I come in contact with folks who aren't Christians. And their behavior doesn't line up with mine, but I can't get mad at them about that because, you know what? Truth is they probably don't know the difference. So my job and my role is to not to preach at them, but to be Christ to them. I think we could all preach to people till we're blue in the face, but it would never save them. It would never cause them to come to that place of repentance. But the way we live our life could. The way we choose to treat them could. The way we choose to respond to them could. Dare to be different. I challenge you, I encourage you today, dare to be different. God's guidance on being different includes four things. And I'm going to get to those four things in just 1 second. But, you know, the more you spend time with God, the more you become like Him. You know, I think about my son, who's now entering a new phase of his life. So many of our mannerisms, and he's a big guy. I mean, it's funny, Rachel said, "Where's our tall pastor?" And I thought, well, that's not me. So I know she's not referring to me. But my oldest son is a big guy. He's about 6'4", and you kind of think, how did that come from that? God's got a sense of humor. That's the way I look at him, okay? He's a big guy. But so many things now that I see him doing as a young man, I can see myself in him. Just because I raised him, and so many things that he does now, it makes me proud because I think his dad taught him that. Not that I'm perfect and not that I made all the right decisions, because I haven't. He could tell you some stories. All three of my kids could tell you some stories. But the more that we spend time together, the more we become like one another. It's just the way it is. So the more we're in this, the more we're in God's Word, the more it's going to take root into our lives. So that when you go through life and you take on different roles in your life, that the truth never goes away. Does that make sense? That it never goes away. Yesterday, we started some new events going on with the ball team, and so you know, I work for the St. Louis Cardinals organization. That's who I work for. So anyway, we're down in Springfield yesterday, and we're at Hammonds Field, and we're getting some stuff done ready for the season. Some of the people were there. We're taking batting practice, and we're wrapping up batting practice, and one of our vice presidents yells at me and says, "Hey, Todd, you want to take a few cuts in the cage?" And I said, "Not a chance. Not a chance." I said, "You know how long it's been since I've seen live pitching? Long enough to know that I'm not going to get in there and embarrass myself." So, although 20 years ago, I did it all the time. But that was 20 years ago, right? So, I'm walking away, and somebody yells at me and says, "I bet you won't do it. Bet you can't hit anything." Kind of joking at me. Then I was like, you know what? Okay, I'll get in there. So I get my bat, I get my helmet, pretending that I'm 20 again when I'm not, okay? And all I'm telling myself when I'm walking up to the cage is, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? You don't have to prove anything to anybody. But now I'm in. Now I'm like walking up. Now I can't back out. So I get up there, and like I said, I feel like I'm young again. So I get in there, and I tell the pitching coach, I said, let me see one first. So I see it, and I'm thinking, Todd, why do you do this to yourself? Okay, so I get in there, and first one, I make contact. I'm really proud of myself that I even made contact. So I make contact, and so he starts throwing some more, and I start hitting. And I wouldn't say I'm ripping the ball by any means, but I'm at least putting it in play. But I'm in there, and I'm starting to take some hacks, and I'm starting to swing, and I'm starting to make contact. And then it's starting to be good contact. And I'm thinking, man, this feels really good. And I take about 20 pitches, and I hit all of them, praise God. Okay? A couple of them were foul balls, but they hit the bat. That's all that really mattered at the time. But I just kind of got back in that role, and I thought, man, this feels so good. And so I was hitting, and, you know, I got done with it, and I don't know if any teams are out there on the market for a 40-year-old free agent, but, you know, I kind of thought, hey, I'm available, okay? But I walked away thinking, it once you started getting in there, it all started coming back. Everything I coached, you know, all the years that I've coached and coached baseball and all the things you teach, and it all started coming back as I was in that role again. And church, it's the same way that even no matter what your role is in life, and as long as you're in love with Christ, it's all going to come back. All the things you've ever learned and taught yourself and have been taught, it's all going to come back when you get back in that role again. And you're going to feel good about yourself. And God's going to put you in those spots to make you realize, hey, listen, you're still the same guy. You're still the same lady. You're still the same one. You're still gifted. You're still talented. You still have the abilities that you had 20 years ago. It may create soreness the next morning, but it's still there. You get the point. God never changes His mind about us. Our roles may change. Our jobs may change. Our cities may change. But the things that God instills in us and gives us, even before we were born, they never go away. They never go away. But what we learn from this today are four things, and it's this. God's guidance on being different includes, number one, being selected. God chose you for an eternal purpose. For an eternal purpose. Number one, selected. Number two, God's guidance on being different includes being a servant. God's called you to service. God's called you to put your agenda to the side oftentimes and to serve. Number three, God's guidance on being different includes being sanctified, on being set apart, on being different than the rest of the world. You know, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Sanctified. And number four, God's guidance on being different includes being zealous. Church, listen, we should be excited about life. It's like Jeff said, you know, we should be willing to fight for what we hold dear to our hearts. If someone walked into your front door as a parent, as a father or a mother, and they started to take your child by force out of your house, what do you think you're going to do? It won't be pretty. We'll just put it that way, okay? You will fight for them. Why? Because they're probably the most prized possession in this life to you. Jeff said it. It's got to mean something to you. You have to be zealous about this life that you've been given. You got to live this life with zeal, with excitement. That, you know what? Today may not have been a good day, but tomorrow's a new day. And tomorrow's, there's potential for it to be better than it was today. Yesterday, when I was in that batting cage, I mean, it was just like I literally felt 18 years old again. It may have lasted 2 minutes, but it all, like, that feeling of excitement and, gosh, what God's given me, it felt so good. Dare to be different. And I want to encourage you today, God's given you the ability to do it. I want to finish with this story. When I was about 6 years old, one day I decided to go out into the woods and just kind of go on an adventure by myself. I was 8 years old, I can't remember exactly where I was, but I thought, you know what, I'm going to go out and just see what's out there. We lived on a farm, and I remember just there was surrounded by woods. And so one day I go out there and I feel like kind of like I'm Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn, you know, just out there just loving life, see what happens. And I start going throughout my day and getting out there, and I realize at one point that I've been out there quite a while. And I think, well, it's about to get dark, so I better start heading back. So I start heading back, and the area where I'm in doesn't look familiar. Doesn't look like it did when I walked out there. And at that point, I realized that I was lost. And I was just out there wandering. So then I start to get scared. I mean, I'm 7, 8 years old. And I'm out there, and it's getting dark, and I don't know what I'm going to do because I'm by myself. And all I know to do is I just start yelling for help. I just start yelling, help, anybody. I just wanted somebody to hear my voice because I'm literally physically scared because I don't know where I am. And I just start yelling, help. I start yelling for my parents. I start yelling for anybody. And I bet probably 5-10 minutes goes by and I'm just yelling at the top of my lungs, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I just hear this voice that says, I'm right here, boy. Just follow my voice. And I start following, just trying to picture where this voice is coming from, but I can hear it. He yells it again. He goes, here I am, boy. Just follow my voice. And I start getting closer to that voice. And before I know it, I can see through those trees, and one of the heroes in my life, my grandpa's up on the front porch. And I just run to him. I just run to him because I felt like, now I'm safe. Now I'm good. Church, listen, sometimes we're going to wander. And sometimes we're going to get lost. And sometimes our choices are going to bring consequences to them. But we're never too far away that we still can't hear His voice. I didn't know it till later, but I was probably only 300 feet from my house. And I thought I was 10 miles. I was literally a football field away from my house. And I just ran up there and I grabbed him and I held on. He said, what's wrong? I said, I was lost. And I said, but your voice, all I wanted to hear was that. And he just grabbed me and he said, now you're safe. Now you're good. Let's go in the house. And he looked at me and said, don't do that again. You had us all scared to death. I said, well, the feeling was mutual, okay? Because I was scared to death too. Here's what it says. 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, be hospitable to one another without complaining. Based on the gift they have received, everyone should use it to serve others. Good managers of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, let his speech be like the oracles of God. If anyone serves, let his or her service be from the strength that God provides. So that in everything, God may be glorified. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Church, listen. There's going to be times in our life when we completely blow it. But you know what? There's going to be those times where God puts you back in that environment that you know to be true. You're going to get back in that batting cage. And it's all going to come back. It's all going to come back and it's all going to make sense. And all those things you were taught, they're going to make sense again. And it's all going to come back and you're going to start making contact and you're going to feel good about yourself and you're going to know, hey, it was just all part of the plan. God's in control. As your cheerleader today, I dare you to be different. Don't be like the rest of the world. That's easy. Take the time to invest your life into what you know works. I'm going to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name. Father, as we leave this place today, I pray, God, that we leave encouraged. That, God, it may not make sense at first. But, Lord, you're in control. You put us in places for reasons. You put us in front of certain people for reasons. You create relationships for reasons. And, Father, all those things that we've ever been taught throughout our life, it's all going to make sense. It may take a time, it may take some time, it may take a while. But we're eventually going to get to that point in our lives where it all makes sense. Father, as we pursue you, as we go on this journey, let us be different. Let us be set apart. Let us be sanctified. Let us have that zeal for life and that excitement, knowing that someday soon we will fly away and be in your presence for all eternity. Go with us today. Lord, let us be encouraged today. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray you have a good day. Shake somebody's hand, give them a hug. Have a good one.